How to do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast. It is Monday, the 13th of July. This is 2020, like it or not. I am your host, Kelly Gamott. I guess like that or not, too. I'm here today with a couple of lovely panelists for Media Monday, first of which is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there. Hi.
Glad to have you with me, as always, for Media Monday. And completing the dream team, I have with me John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Ahoy from Captain Martellaro.
So, Captain, I would like to talk to you about how you spent
and
a portion...
so it begins.
I would like to talk to you, Captain, about how you spent a portion of your weekend, and that was watching the Tom Hanks movie Greyhound.
I was really looking forward to that movie. I've seen a lot of war movies, especially World War II, some Korean. Mm-hmm. I'm a student of carrier battles and submarine warfare in the Pacific during World War II, and I've read a lot.
This comes as no surprise to anyone.
Yeah, I'm a baby boomer, and so studying World War II warfare has been very much fun and educational. Mm-hmm. And so I was really looking forward to this movie to see how it compared against other movies of its kind. Mm-hmm. Movies like Periscope and Foreign Silent Run Deep and Dust Boat. And it's really, really, really good. I reviewed it from both a military and a dramatic standpoint. I started off with expressing my irritation that many of the reviews I read, all of the reviews I read, did not address the movie from any kind of military perspective except, oh, there was lots of jargon and there was lots of, you know, cool stuff on the bridge and stuff like that. But I had some perspectives on the military side of it. And, mm-hmm. and those were just sort of side notes. But the things that irritated me most about the reviews that I did read was, first of all, it was incorrectly compared to fictional superhero movies.
Okay.
Where there's a lot of fictional CGI explosions, superheroes doing unrealistic things. And in this regard, you know, a plain Jane, 40-year-old Navy commander who's under a lot of stress and making the best decisions he can, full of doubts and, mm-hmm. and concern about the safety of his ship and whether he's going to get sunk. You know, that's, for some people, that doesn't ring home because they don't have any military experience and they never lived through that. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't have that sort of positive, absolute perfection mm-hmm. of superhero power.
Ooh, yeah.
And and it didn't
seeing
have
as there are big, no comic book superheroes in this movie, that sort of
right.
stands
and it
to
didn't
reason.
Have a big scale. And it had lots of explosions, but the explosions were tied to, you know, plain or ordinary 2-ton torpedo hitting a frigate. Not the kind of stuff that you see, you know, in super Transformer movies and so on. So that I kind of addressed that.
I just think
no
one has ever assembled the words ordinary 2-ton torpedo in that order in the English language until this moment. So thank you, John.
I'm sure they have. The second thing that annoyed me was that there was some discussion in many reviews about how the movie was too short to have any character development.
Oh, okay.
And in this kind of crisp 91-minute movie, you wouldn't expect much character development, except that there was quite a bit in terms of the captain of the ship. By the way, the captain of the ship is always the captain, no matter what his military grade is. In this case, it was Commander Krause.
Okay.
Which is a Navy grade, one below Navy captain.
Now, my question about the movie is, this is I know it's set in World War II, but is this a particular, and that it's based on actual events, but is this a particular battle, or is it the story of a particular ship or an incident? That was the part I did not.
Well, it's based on C.S. Forrester's novel, The Good Shepherd.
Okay.
And C.S. Forrester was familiar with military mm-hmm. affairs, and so I'm assuming The Good Shepherd was drawn from World War II experience of these convoys.
Yeah, and it's about the Battle of the Pacific, isn't it, where the most dangerous thing about getting to the only thing more dangerous, what's the catchphrase for the film, the only thing more dangerous about getting to the war is getting to the front
getting
line.
Getting there. Yeah. Okay.
Getting through the black tip of the Atlantic, where German U-boats were and wolf packs.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the United States was sending convoys across the North Atlantic to supply the Allies and Great Britain with lumber and food and fuel oil and aircraft and so on. Mm-hmm. And there is a book, if you want to learn more about the technical details of that kind of warfare, there's a book by Ed Offley called Turning the Tide, which is really the definitive book on naval warfare in the North Atlantic. And it talks about everything you need to know about how the operations of the Germans were, how they were using the Enigma machine for encrypted messages, and how they were attacking the convoys. The convoys were sort of like the origins of operations research, because there was a right way and a wrong way to organize the ships and to protect them with the frigates and the destroyers on the outside, and zigzag maneuvers and intercepting German radio communications and deciphering them and taking a path across the Atlantic where the U-boats weren't and avoiding them. So there was a lot of technology and cat and mouse of these 30 or 50 ship convoys that went across the Atlantic every few days. The other thing
Let me just finish one thing first.
The other thing that bothered me was this character development thing, but Commander Kraus was on his first mission, and boy, did he get a test. And he had to use all his training and all his experience as a Navy commander to survive, to keep from being sunk himself and to protect the fleet. And I think there was considerable character development in this movie, seeing how he evolved and how he fought this battle. Okay. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Wait, is that...
Charlotte, take it away.
Yeah, I was just picking up on actually something you were just saying about the character development. One of the things that appeals to me most... I haven't had a chance to watch the film yet. I'll probably settle down with it during the course of the week. One of the things that actually appealed to me about it is the fact that it's a classic 90-minute movie. I'm dubious and regularly irritated about the excessive length of movies.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm the person that watched Hamilton in over 2 days in two acts when it came on Disney Plus. So I actually think it is a feather in the cap of this movie that it is 90 minutes long. It sounds to me from John's review that you get all that you need from those 91 minutes without...
Oh, yes.
Without the kind of... You know, rather often self-indulgent. Yeah, often there's a lot of movies I've watched. I'm not a huge movie watcher. I'm more a TV series kind of a person. But there, a lot of the movies I watch, I have noticed that there's always a good 20 to 30 minutes that you think, did I really need that? And you also notice that the film is somewhere between 120 and 150 minutes and probably didn't need to be. So it really appeals to me that the film is 90 minutes. I wonder if the fact that we're starting to have films being streamed is going to reduce the amount of time they are, because people are more likely to settle down for a 90-minute movie in their home. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it'll be the other way. But it seems to me that, like, on a streaming service, 90 minutes kind of works.
Whereas, this movie didn't feel short.
But I mean, it doesn't feel short.
The action was so tense. And it was so continuous and so intense.
Right.
That 90 minutes was about all you wanted.
Exactly. And I wonder if streaming, and I wonder if Apple TV will make a virtue of this, and I wonder if streaming, you know, moving things to streaming will actually encourage films to operate in that way. Having said that, The Irishman was about 3 days long, wasn't it? So clearly I don't know what I'm talking about. But it seems to me that you know, that's a compelling factor. You turn on Apple TV, you sit down for 90 minutes, you've seen a Tom Hanks movie.
Right.
Job done. I have to say, the thing I'm looking forward to watching, I'm going to settle down this evening with it, is Little Voice, which also came out this week, over the weekend. which is a story about a younger female musician who is trying to make it in New York. There's a bit of coverage over on themacobserver.com, so I'm looking forward to settling down and watching that.
Excellent.
Cool.
One thing, I want to point this out real quick, and then I will tell you all about this week's sponsor. I received a phone call on Friday afternoon. I got a text message. Are you on your lunch break? Yes. I was from my dad, and he said, will you give me a call when you have a minute? And so I called him, and he said, well, I heard Tom Hanks has a movie, and it's on the Apple TV, so I need to know how to get the Apple TV on my TV so I can watch it. And so I spent Friday afternoon getting my dad, apparently the last person in America without an Apple ID, set up with an Apple ID, and get him set up with the movie on his Roku. The Apple TV channel on his Roku so that he could sign up for TV Plus, get that all going, and be able to watch the movie. And he texted me yesterday afternoon and said that Tom Hanks movie was very, very good. And, you know, John, to your point about being sort of a war movie aficionado, my dad is much the same. If it's a book about World War II or a movie about World War II, my dad has probably read it. And it's like somebody sat down and went, Kelly's dad's going to need to watch a movie. What do we do? Well, we put Tom Hanks in another World War II flick. Awesome. Let's go.
Well, I think you're actually making a wider point that goes beyond your dad, because I suspect there are quite a lot of people like your dad who probably wouldn't have bothered with Apple TV Plus.
Yes.
Don't really care.
Not even a little.
Did he complain about how difficult the whole process was, or was he just happy to be done?
He didn't, because it wasn't too bad a deal, because I was on the phone with him the whole time, so he didn't have any issue. Cool. Yeah. But he just kind of walked through it. I was like, okay, well, if it says email, then it wants your email address. You know, it's going to want you to make up a password, so figure out what that'll be. So, yeah. That kind of stuff, you know, and then I saved it in 1Password for him for later. So, this was the thing that I wondered if was going to happen. And I think we maybe even speculated about it here on the show, talking about like, what, you know, is this the kind of thing that's going to make people sign up, you know, and they've got at least one person who's at least in the trial period anyway, who signed up because Tom Hanks made a World War II movie and by God, he's got to see it.
Yeah, I suspect.
I can't wait to see the numbers. If Apple does release numbers or mm-hmm. some monitoring agency guesses at the numbers, I can't wait to see how this movie did.
Well,
it's going well.
I think it'll rate a mention in the quarterly call, which we know has been scheduled recently. So we may find out there.
July 30th.
Yeah. So maybe we'll know at the end of the month, John. We'll have to wait and see. But right now, what I'd like to do is take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Raycon, and Raycon makes earbuds. You've probably seen them around. One of the interesting things to know about them is that they start at about half the price of other true wireless earbuds. So one of the nice things about them, I have been using a pair, and one of the nice things about them is that they are super duper comfortable. I think Charlotte will probably attribute part of that to the fact that they are not AirPod shaped. They don't have the little stems that hang out of your ears. They're small black headphones or earbuds, and they just tuck into your ears. They're very, very comfortable. Making phone calls on them is great. They have a really nice low end. They're very bass happy, I would say. I listen to a lot of bass happy music, so for me, that's been definitely an advantage. They're very small and they're super comfortable. I wore them all yesterday afternoon doing yard work and washing cars and things, and it was never a problem. I enjoyed them very, very much. Like I said, there's no stem on them, so this is definitely one that Charlotte would probably want to know about. They pair to my phone super easily. They come in a case that's very compact. It's a little bit narrower and a little shorter than an AirPods case, not AirPods Pro, but like regular AirPods. It's even smaller than that. So the little pebbly kind of case you get slides in your pocket really easily. They're super comfortable. They sound good. And my listeners get, you can get the latest and greatest. These are called the Everyday E25. So you can get these with 6 hours of playtime and more in the case. at buyraycon.com/TDO. It's buyraycon.com/TDO. And that'll get you 15% off a set of Raycon wireless earbuds. One more time. That's buyraycon.com/TDO. We'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, since it's Media Monday, we have some other Media Monday news. And this is news that is particularly relevant to Kelly and Charlotte's interests. And that is that hopefully future James Bond, Idris Elba, has signed a deal with Apple. This is just the kind of thing that I keep saying enough out into the world because I want it to be true that Idris Elba gets to be the next James Bond. But Charlotte, you wrote about this for us, and I wanted to find out a little bit more about that deal.
Yeah, Idris Elba signed what's called a first look deal with Apple TV Plus, which his production company has. So this, I assume, gives Apple first dibs on some of the projects he's developing. I think they're meant to be the kind of, you know, there'll be some features and some movies and those kind of things, and also TV series. So there's a lot. There's no the point is there's no confirmed actual product or project. Mm-hmm. But he is developing stuff that will be seen first, as the title says, by Apple TV Plus, and you can assume there will be products and content that we see from Idris Elba and his production company on Apple TV.
And this is, I think, the first one of these deals that we've seen in a while, Bray and Charlotte, because I don't remember when the last time was that we heard anybody had signed with Apple. On this kind of,
well, we had the Morris Sendak Foundation, Where the Wild Things Are, signed a deal the other day. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a big star,
right, signing, you know, a person, a particular project to bring Where the Wild Things Are to TV Plus, and I'm talking about, like,
right,
you know, like, we got Oprah, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, this is more in the we've got, you know, we've got a superstar, we've got Oprah, we've got Reese Witherspoon, we've got Jennifer Aniston,
right,
we've got the showrunners of those shows, kind of vibe. Yeah, this is definitely more about that, and it will be interesting. He did a show for Netflix, which was kind of fun. I enjoyed it. It was stupid and fun, and it was fine. It wasn't I don't think it did that great. It kind of was fun did okay because it was Idris Elba. But like never really went anywhere else, unfortunately. But Idris Elba is a superstar, and if he has got stuff, people will, I imagine, watch it. And it's another, you know, to have the guy from Luther, The Wire, Marvel movies, and as you say, possibly the next James Bond signed up, is, you know, again, another one of these big steps that Apple TV Plus seems to have taken over the last few weeks and months.
Yeah. Charlotte, how do you feel about the moves Apple's making? They've had time to digest the response since November to Apple TV Plus. They've had a chance to look at ratings and see what customers like, viewers like. Do you think that they're responding correctly to the situation so far, and their, you know, fifth place finish in a recent poll?
Yeah,
how do you feel about their moves?
You and I have said this before, that we felt it was all a bit slow and that there needed to be a bit more, a bit earlier. I feel they're playing catch up a bit, but you can't fault the you know, to sign a Tom Hanks movie, to debut a Tom Hanks movie and sign Idris Elba in the space of a few days.
Yeah.
You can't really argue with that.
That's certainly a big move. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be nice if it'd been a month ago or more.
Should it have been 3 or 4 months ago? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Should it have been should we have known this at the point where the first set of series finished? I think that was the gap. I think that's where they lost time. People did
had
whatever
seen everything.
first series they signed up to. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, that was the morning show. Then they got saved by Defending Jacob. Mm-hmm. which I think was a huge, huge cut through for Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
And then, really? we were at the kind of where next stage. And
you know what, I'm curious.
We don't really have answers to that.
Charlotte, I'm intensely curious about the finances.
Sure.
Sony Pictures originally planned to schedule the release of Greyhound June 12th in movie theaters, but when the pandemic hit, that got put on the shelf. And then Apple swooped in and presumably offered Sony a certain amount of money to carry it on Apple TV. But Apple TV is not raking in a whole lot of money right now in terms of income. So I'd be curious to see how much money Apple had to spend to outbid any other people who wanted to carry this movie. And why Apple won and how far they were willing to go to get this movie. And the dollar amount would fascinate me.
Yeah, we've never seen that number. It would be fascinating. No. I agree with you.
I don't know that we ever will.
I suspect
it would be great.
I suspect
to know.
It is a big number.
Someday we'll know. Yeah, a big number. Lots of zeros.
Oh yeah. Let's just assume there's lots of
zeros.
There
are a number. There are six zeros at the end of that for sure. So
yeah, and a few digits before as well, I would imagine. Well,
absolutely.
Apple clearly realized it needed to make apologize for this phrase in advance, but it realized it needed to make a splash. And
oh, you stole from my teaser.
Sorry. Well, call it inspiration, not stealing.
GMTA.
And it needed a hit, and you know.
And I think they got it.
Well, we'll find out. They'll tell us something. I'm sure we'll hear something positive about it on the conference call at the end of the month. And we will make sure to report on that as well as the other service stuff that is happening. And you will be able to find all that coverage over at MacObserver.com. That's going to do it for us today. I wanted to thank both of you for being here. As always, John Martellaro. Nice to have you here as always, Captain.
My pleasure. Nice to be here.
Also with me, Charlotte Henry. Thank you again, Charlotte.
Thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamano. We'll talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.